Good morning. This is Jeff Norris from Buchanan Alliance Church, and we are unable to videotape the message, so we will be audio recording it. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Buchanan Alliance Church. And this morning is actually the first Sunday of Advent, and we're going to be speaking on biblical faith. But before we do that, let's ask the Lord to come upon us with his presence. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would please come powerfully upon each one of us, both me in my office now and upon everyone who's listening to my voice. May we encounter you in these moments ahead, all for your glory and yours alone. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hey, here at Buchanan Alliance Church, we want to be living and loving like Jesus, and that is only possible through the indwelling Holy Spirit. He's the one, it is Christ in us, the hope of glory, as Paul says. He's the one that gives us the power. And actually, this first Sunday of Advent, we're going to be focusing on biblical faith. And if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 2, says this: "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Yes, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus only. Today, there's so much stuff going on in our government and with COVID, with all this stuff, and we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. And that's what Hebrews 12:2 says. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. What other things do people tend to fixate on? Well, some people fixate on relationships, some significance through work and other things. Some people, it's control through security. They're seeking security and they try and control everything, perfectionism and things like that. Some people focus their eyes on the problems and issues of life. And all of that distracts us from keeping our eyes on Jesus. As Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that he is the author of our faith. He's the reason why we believe. His death, burial, and resurrection proves that Jesus is who he said he was. And then let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Excuse me. I believe this is both faith with a small letter F and faith with capital F. It is our faith. It's my personal faith that he's at work doing in me. And it's also the faith, the entire faith, our whole belief system, what we believe, the word of God. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." It's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then a little bit further down in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him." You know, faith, without faith, it's putting our trust. We have to put our trust in something. And I hope that you're putting your trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. And Peter's commendation to believers, we see that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. "Though you have not seen him," or Jesus, "you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." That's true. That's true. We put our faith in Jesus Christ and we receive peace knowing that he's got this. He's in control. We can take our eyes off of all the other worries and concerns that are out there, COVID and everything else that's going on in the world. I do believe we're living in the last days, and we can keep our eyes on Jesus knowing that he's got this. Now, biblical faith is not just blind faith. God provides evidence to us. In fact, Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. The reality is, as you look around the world, I'm amazed at people that don't believe in God. Look at creation. Look at yourself. Even the human eyeball. I remember when I was studying apologetics and things like that, the term that modern apologists, people who defend the faith, call irreducible complexity. See, the eye can't develop little. It has to be all at once. It's irreducibly complex. How can you look at the human body and not believe in God? I'm not sure how you can do that. And how does having biblical faith impact a person? Well, Habakkuk 2:4 and Galatians 3:11, both of them say the same thing. Galatians repeats what Habakkuk 2:4 says. It says, the righteous will live by his faith. A literal translation is, out of one's faith, a righteous person lives. It's out of our faith. It's what we believe, and therefore we act and live out of our faith. And Ephesians 2:8-10 say this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. John Wesley used this phrase, grace is the source of our salvation, and faith is the condition of salvation. Grace is the source. It is God's unmerited favor toward us. How we access it is faith. Grace is the source. Faith is the condition. Now, biblical faith is more than just intellectual assent. Simply believing that there is a God or knowing about God is not enough. In fact, in James 2:19, James says this, you believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Even the demons believe in God, yet they're not being saved. They're not changing. They're not repenting. They're not putting their trust in Jesus only. Ephesians 2:10, again, how does works fit into all this? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, good works and good deeds, we're not trying to earn one's way to heaven. Isaiah 64 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. The reality is, we can't do anything that's good enough to offer to God. It's putting our trust in Jesus. And then as a result of what has happened in our lives, as a result of being transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus, then we do good works in response to what's happened to us. And they're good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. One of the dangers of evangelicalism is we begin to think that our salvation is just for us. It's not. It's not. It's not. It's for all. We've been saved. The gifts that I am given from God are given to me so they flow through me and I'm able to offer to others. And hopefully others will see Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hey, and now I want to switch gears just a little bit to the ABCs of the gospel. If you do not know, if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ alone, here's how it can happen. A, the first thing is admit I'm a sinner. Admit I have done my own thing. I wanted what I wanted. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. It's called repentance. It's stop doing what I want to do and putting my faith and trust in Jesus, asking Jesus, come, hey, I need a savior. I need someone to save me. And by the way, a sinner can receive forgiveness, can receive mercy, can receive grace. It is such good news to admit that I'm a sinner. You know, if you're a victim, and our culture is full of what I call professional victims, it's not my fault. I didn't do it. It's not me, not me, not me. Well, a victim cannot receive forgiveness, mercy, love, and grace because they don't think they're at fault. It's not my fault. It's always someone else's. No, no, no. When it comes to spirituality, I must own my sin. I am a sinner. Even right now, Jeff Norris, pastoring this church, is a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner. I turn and repent, and I've asked forgiveness for my sin. And then it's belief, trust, trusting in Jesus only, believing in Jesus only, faith in Jesus only. You know, I was asked at one point to lead some classes in spirituality, and they asked me, you know, can you do that without talking about Jesus? And I said, no, I can't, because it does matter what you put your belief into. It's in Jesus. It's putting all your eggs in the basket called Jesus. It's trusting Jesus only. At one point, we had an adopted daughter from another country, and she wanted to receive Jesus along with all the other gods that she had. And I was like, no, it's not that. It's Jesus only. It's trusting Jesus alone, his death, his burial, and his glorious resurrection. It's saying, please forgive me, Jesus. I put you on that cross. I'm putting my trust and faith in you. Scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe and be baptized and you will be saved. Okay? And then see, ABCs. The A is admit I'm a sinner. B, believe in Jesus. C, confess Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Tell others about it. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us that we believe with our heart and with our mouth, we confess that Jesus is Lord and we will be saved. It's confessing, it's telling others about Jesus. When I was first saved, I was so on fire. I told everybody, and I did it not so gently and not with so much respect. Now I wait on the Lord's leading. However, whoever and however he chooses to use me. When I was first saved, I wanted everybody to know it. I was so excited. I wanted to confess Jesus as my Savior and Lord to everyone, everyone. I was obnoxious about it. Please don't be that. Just trust Jesus. Peter says, be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you and do it gently with respect. You know, and over the years, I've been in church a long time, and I've heard many sermons, many pastors say, you personally might be the only sermon or the only Jesus that people ever see. And if need be, say something. Now, you always need to tell a reason for the hope. That's give your testimony. And a testimony is simple. I call it before Jesus, Jesus, and after Jesus. That's all a testimony is. Before Jesus, this is true of me. I had all kinds of fear in my life. I was fearful of the dark. I was fearful of death. I was fearful of all kinds of things. Then I prayed to receive Jesus. I went forward and confessed Jesus. I prayed. I asked forgiveness of sins. I put my faith and trust in him. And I turned around and confessed that to the whole congregation, that I was a sinner, that I was putting my trust in Jesus. And I confessed Jesus to all of them. And then after Jesus, I had no fear. I had no fear of the dark. I don't have a fear of death. I don't have fear of dark. God removed that fear from me. That's my personal testimony. That's all testimony is. What did it take, 30 seconds for me to tell you that? No, I can tell you that testimony in 30 seconds or 30 minutes. But it's my testimony. It's confessing Jesus to others. It's telling others why I am different, because Jesus is in my life. And I rejoice over that. I rejoice over that. That's the best decision and most important decision that I've ever made, was I felt God's conviction upon me. I repented. I asked forgiveness. I asked Jesus to come into my life, and he did. Hey, let's just take a moment and pray and see. And I'm going to lead us in prayer and in a time of silence. So just let God do whatever he wants to do and speak whatever he desires to speak to you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for this first Sunday of Advent, of biblical faith, putting our faith and trust in you, in your finished work, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Dear Lord, in this moment of silence, please speak to each individual that hears my voice. We've looked at many scriptures. May each scripture return, not empty, but with a rich reward, because that's what's promised in Scripture, that it would not return empty, but it would have a harvest of righteousness. And so, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do, in this moment of silence, Holy Spirit, please speak and reveal your will to each one of us. Dear Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you did not speak in that moment of silence, I thank you that you are going to speak, whether it's sometime later today, tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day. But in your perfect time, I thank you that you are drawing each one of us to you. And I thank you for that. May only your will be done. And we thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross in our place and granting us biblical faith, faith to trust in you and you alone. Okay. We have table talk, which means just discussion points for you to think about. In your own words, please define faith. In what way is biblical faith not a blind faith? What do you think about out of one's faith the righteous will live? That's both Old and New Testament. Why does intellectual assent and good works fall short of biblical faith? Why does that fall short? Just believing about God or trying to earn your way to heaven. Why do each of those things fall short of biblical faith? In your own words, what is the relationship between faith and works? You know, James tells us faith without works is dead. And I talked about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, that we are saved and then God wants us. He desires to do good works in us and through us on the behalf of others. The story of how you prayed to receive Jesus Christ and came to biblical faith. Please share your testimony with someone, whether it's a family member, a friend, or someone else. And finally, please share whatever the Holy Spirit impressed upon you personally during your time together. And now, please receive this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face toward you and be gracious unto you. The Lord cast his eyes upon you and grant you his peace. That means God's got this. He's in control. He's got it all. No matter what's happening, God has got this. And finally, the New Testament declares that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. May others see Jesus in you and be drawn to Jesus. May you be Christ's ambassador this week in every way. And may God continue to abundantly bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.